We are in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we finished first 19 verses. We are going to start from verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness.
So what the Word of God is trying to teach us here, when you say, where is the wise and where is the scribe? In the Jewish religion, the scribes are the highly educated people in the Bible. And the wise people we see, the highly educated people are much more wiser than the uneducated people. Uneducated people, they used to say those people are barbarians or unlearned people. And so when you learn something, go to college and university, people think you are wise and you get the wisdom. But here is saying, where is those wise people? They are still in this world. Why is asking, where are those wise? Means those wise people could not find God with their wisdom. We learned that Russian people went to moon. Before that, American went to moon. But the Russian person who goes there and says, I don't see God here. I thought we are closer to God, but I don't see it. But there was an American person says, I see God closer here. And when he came back, he became the missionary. He's called Moon Missionary. What I'm trying to say, you cannot find God with your wisdom. And the verse 21, it says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now somebody, whoever is in the world, I'm talking about the people who are highly educated. Go and tell them Jesus Christ died for you 2,000 years ago and he's going to save you. How that Jesus Christ can save us today? The Word of God says the foolishness of God is much wiser than man. Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, you know, just like that serpent lifted up in the wilderness, the same way the Son of Man will be lifted up. And Jesus says, when I'll be lifted up, I will draw all men towards me. That is, seems to be foolishness to the world, but it works. The people who believed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, looked at the cross, received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they got saved, they got healed, they got delivered, they got blessed. The preaching is foolishness, but God decided to bring the gospel of kingdom of God to this world, and whoever believes it, they will be saved. So somebody has to go and tell the world that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. It sounds foolish. It sounds no meaning. 2,000 years ago somebody died and today he has the same power to heal the mankind. I talked to many, many people. How can I get healed? How can I get saved? Just listening to the Word of God or just believing in Jesus Christ. One time one lady called. She was listening to the radio program. She said, Pastor Peter, hurry up and pray for me. I do not have the telephone in my house. I just got this public phone and I'm calling you. Please pray, hurry up. I'm hurting and I'm having a lot of pain and things like that. I said, sister, hold on. Listen to the word of God. And I start giving verse after verse Bible scriptures. And she start thinking, this man doesn't understand my pain. But when I start giving the word of God, few minutes later, I say, sister, can I pray for you? She said, what? I'm healed. I have no pain. My pain is gone. I said, who did it? The word of God has power to heal. Psalm 107, verse 20, please read.
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
He sent his word. Who he? God sent his word. Who is the word? Jesus Christ is the word of God. When he sent Jesus Christ into this world to deliver them from their destructions. So Jesus Christ is the word of God, and the word of God comes to you, that word of God has power to heal you. I think St. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus says, the word I speak to you, and I'm talking to you the word of God. And that word of God has what? Power. And that word of God gives you life. So the Jesus Christ is the life giver. And when Jesus speaks, he speaks life into your life. The word of God says the Jewish people are requiring sign. The Greeks are after the wisdom. So the people are saying, we want to see something. Jesus Christ says, you are asking sign. Only sign I can give it to you. The Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. He says, the same sign I'm going to give it to you. They will crucify me. They will bury me. And after 3 days, I'll come back. And that's the sign I'm giving you. So he says the Jewish people were looking for sign and they got their sign. Jesus Christ said, look at this temple. And people might be thinking he was talking about the temple they were looking at. He might have said, look at this temple. You destroyed this temple and I will fix this temple after 3 days. And they start saying, this temple took 40 years or more. How can you fix this temple? But then later on they came to know he was talking about this temple. And now we know the word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, you are the temple of the living God. They didn't know that he was talking about his own body. Our body is the temple of the living God. So when they were asking the sign, he even told them, this is going to happen. And even though Jesus Christ came out of the grave, still they did not believe. So if somebody is asking you a sign, somebody says, do some miracle, then I'll believe. Tell them, even though you will see miracle, you will not believe. You know what? Thomas was with Jesus Christ how many years? 3.5 years. He heard preaching of Jesus Christ many a time. After the resurrection, all the disciples are sitting in one place and Thomas was not there. Jesus comes, shows himself, check my hands, check my side, ate with them, showed to them that I'm alive. And after that, disciples were testifying to Thomas. We saw Jesus. He's alive. What Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. I have to check his hands, put my finger in his hand. I have to take my hand and put it in his side and I'll check it. Then I will believe it. What happened? A week later, they were all sitting together. Jesus comes with the door closed And first thing he said, Thomas, come here. Bring your hand, bring your finger and put it in my hand. And bring your hand and put it in my side. What Thomas said. Uh-huh, let me check it out. Then I believe. Did he say that? No, he fell on his face. He says, my Lord and my God. And he worshipped him. But Jesus said to him, Thomas, you saw me and you believe. The blessed are those people who do not see, still they believe. Amen. So we didn't see Jesus Christ face to face, but we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are a blessed people. So the Word of God says they are looking for a sign and they are looking for the wisdom. But the sign and wisdom is not going to save mankind. Let's go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23.
But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness.
We preach Christ crucified. People do not want to hear. That is like a Jewish people, it says stumbling block, and unto Greek means Gentiles, is foolishness. Without Jesus, there is no peace. Without Jesus, there is no holiness. Without Jesus, there is no unity. Somebody has to tell somebody what is the truth. Everybody thinks they know the truth. But the Word of God says, Jesus says, I am the truth. That means there is no other truth. So how can you say, let everybody do their religion and they will be happy? They don't know the truth. They are going astray. It is our job to tell them the truth. And when they will hear the truth, and then they will know the Lord. So we have to receive Him as our Lord and as our King right now. What I'm trying to say. But the Word of God says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jewish is a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. Jewish people do not want to listen about Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean I'm not going to tell Jewish people. So what I'm trying to say, we have to tell the people about Jesus Christ. They may like it, or they may not like it. But someday, when they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will thank you. Okay, let's read verse 24.
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
But unto them which are called, both Jewish and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So once you receive Jesus Christ, you get the power from above, the authority of God, and the wisdom of God. Let's read verse 25.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called.
Now he says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Do you know many times God told the children of God to do certain things? Moses is coming out of Egypt. Pharaoh's army is following him, and in front of him a sea. No way to go. If they go back, they get killed. If they go in the water, they get drowned. Looks very horrible situation, dangerous situation. What God said to Moses, you have a rod in your hand, just stretch your hand and the water is going to be divided. Sound foolish, right? But he obeyed the Lord and they went through the Red Sea. Anytime God tells you something to do, it sounds foolish. Because you are thinking with your own mind and own ideas and you're calculating and thinking, if I do this, this would happen. But the faith is not what you see. Faith is what you don't see. If somebody says, I want to see, I just gave an example. Thomas said, I want to see Jesus first and then I believe. If you see something and then you believe, that's foolish. You have to believe it before you see it. That's called faith. Amen. The word of God says we are not walking by sight, but we're walking by what? We are walking by faith. Faith is not looking at with your eyes. If we're seeing everything and then we're believing, that is not faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does it mean? He says, somebody explaining to you something. There is something is there, you didn't see it. But you are hoping for that the things to see. And somebody is giving you evidence of that things, you didn't see it. And then you say, okay, I believe what you say. How does it work? For example, just think that I said, in my pocket, there is something. It looks like a 6-inch or 5-inch long. It holds some kind of color in it. You can open that and you can write on the paper. It comes in different colors. You can put it in your pocket or you can hold it in your hand. And that is the thing you write with it. And it's called a pen. And you never saw or never heard about pen. But when I describe the things, some faith start coming. Hey, there might be something. And then somebody says, I believe it. What you're saying, I believe it. If that person who's telling you, if that person is trustworthy, you will believe it, right? But some fake person always fools you and always deceives you. He can tell you 10,000 times the thing, you will not believe. Now, who is telling us about God and about heaven? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says, you didn't see God, right? But if you see me, then you have seen God. Whatever I say to you, I don't say my own, but I'm saying what God says. And I was in the bosom of my Father, and I came from there, I have seen the heaven. I know what heaven is like. And one day I'm going to take you there. And once you know who is speaking, then you'll trust. That's called faith. Without seeing, you trust what the person is saying and hope for those things what he's saying. That's what he's saying. The heaven is a place. Substance is not like an air. It's solid place. The made out of gold or made out of precious stone. There's a place. And he says, you are hoping for that place to go. And somebody is giving evidence about those things. Who gave the evidence? If you read the Revelation, John tells you a little bit glimpse of heaven. I was lifted up to heaven. I saw the things and God showed me all of those things. This is real. And do you have that kind of desire to go there? And if somebody has, then he has to believe what John is saying. That's called faith. John is not saying something, oh, I saw something I don't know. It's something I cannot explain. I don't know what heaven looks like. I don't know if this is a real place or not. That you cannot trust. You understand? But here he's saying, now faith is the substance of things. You cannot have faith in anything. Somebody says, I believe this stone is God. Because if I believe the stone is God, he will be my God. That is not the real thing. That's a foolish thing. You cannot have faith in things, but you can have faith in God. That's why Jesus Christ says in a book of Mark chapter 11, have faith in God. You cannot put your faith in anything. You cannot put your faith in any man. You cannot trust any man or any king. The word of God says, do not trust any person. Do not trust any man. Do not trust any king. Why? He said, when they die, their ideas, their power vanishes away. Okay, so what I was trying to say, you have to have some substance, you have to have some evidence, and then you believe. If you say, show me the pain, then I believe, then there is nothing to believe. You already saw it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
You have to recognize your calling. Why are you following Jesus Christ? Many people, they go to church, and if somebody says, why do you go to church? Oh, my mom told me. Why do you go to church? Because today is Sunday. Why you go to church? Oh, because we supposed to go to church. That's not the good answer. Why you go to church? Because I love Jesus Christ. I want to learn more about Him. I want to follow Him. I want to learn more so I can tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says you should assemble together because Jesus Christ is coming, and so I have to go to church because this is the commandment of God. St. Paul says, I follow the Christ, but I am not following like a beating on the air. I know the truth. If somebody asks you about your salvation, you should know why you believe Jesus Christ. If somebody says, why you believe Jesus Christ? Why don't you believe Buddha? Or why don't you believe somebody else? You should have the answer. Why you don't believe other God, and then why you believe Jesus Christ? If somebody comes to me and says, I'll show you better person than Jesus Christ, will you believe? What I would say? I say, there is none like Jesus. And you cannot prove it to me, somebody is better than Jesus. You cannot compare God with anyone. God is the greatest. And so we have the confidence that Jesus Christ is the Savior and there is none like Him. Once I know that in my heart and I believe it and I practice what God says, when Jesus Christ called me, I was a believer, but I was asking God, Lord, you call Peter, you call Paul, you call other disciples. I need a calling. I just don't want to go and follow the Lord. When I got saved, I had one friend, and my brother is all like my friend. So three of us, we said, hey, we would like to tell the world about Jesus. And then other guy said, why don't you give up your job? I'll give up my job. And you, me, and your brother will take a bicycles and go around the world and telling about Jesus Christ. I said, sir, sounds good. But the Word of God says you have to have a calling. If we start doing like that and we get problem, we will give up on God. So I'm waiting for the calling. So I told my brother, pray that God gives you calling. If God calls you first, you give up your job and follow the Lord, and I will take care of the house. If God calls me, I will give up my job, and then you take care of the family. And we agreed. And the other guy who was suggesting me that I should give up my job, that man already became a police officer and gave up the idea about serving the Lord. But I was praying. When God called me, it's a long story, I'm just telling in short. When God called me, I gave up everything. And I reminded my brother, didn't you tell me, if God calls you, you go and I'll take care of the family? He said, yes, I'll do it. But later on, when I start serving the Lord, I told him, now you should serve the Lord too. And now he is serving the Lord. And when I prayed and I received the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and I was just very happy and rejoicing and saying, Lord, you gave me Holy Spirit, now I could pray for people, now people can get healed, delivered, and set free. And the devil comes and tells me, no, 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 you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit. And I got a little bit discouraged. But at the same time, I was going for a prayer meeting. And I went to that prayer meeting and my elbow touched his elbow. And he filled with the Holy Spirit and started saying, the man who is sitting beside me and he just touched me, that man is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I start praising God. I said, thank you, Jesus. From that day until today, I never doubted that I don't have the Holy Spirit. And then I was walking on the street and I saw one baby crying. The mother said, Brother Peter, could you come and pray for my baby? This was the first miracle. I prayed for that baby. So I prayed and I left. As I was going, the lady says, Brother Peter, come back. I thought maybe baby died or something. So I said, what happened? She said, my baby is completely healed. No more fever. She stopped crying. So that was the first miracle. So what I'm trying to say, now I know Jesus Christ does miracles. If somebody comes to me and say, it doesn't work, I'm not going to convince what that person is saying. Now, almost 50 years, I saw hundreds and thousands of sickness and disease healed. Incurable disease. No doctor can heal. One example I'll give it to you. When I saw one child, 4 or 5 years old, waist down, completely paralyzed. You can take that leg and twist it like this, round. Nothing in there. But I said to the mother, give me the oil. She gave me the oil. I prayed for that child, anointing with the oil, in the name of Jesus. Nothing happened. I gave it to her and I said, listen, every day when you pray for this child, just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are going to recreate my son's legs and feet and he will walk one day. And I just prayed and left. Somebody came to me and said, did you know that child you prayed, that child is walking and running and completely bone and everything, completely healed. That miracle, no doctor can do. No doctor can put bones there, but Jesus did it. So now if somebody comes to me and say it doesn't work, I'm not going to believe what the other people are saying because I know my calling. That's what he says.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Yes, so what he's saying, make sure you're calling, that God has called you. God is not calling kings and presidents and lawyers and engineers and scientists. He calls ordinary people. Jesus did not say, I want to call scientists and doctors and engineers and philosophers to follow me. He called the unlearned, uneducated people to follow him. So once you come to Jesus Christ can use you. Then you can tell the whole world that God is more powerful than anything or anyone in this world. And once you start preaching and teaching the whole world, they are going to see Jesus in you. Reinhard Bonnke, one day he was standing in some place and one man comes and starts shivering and falling on his knees. And he says, I see Jesus in your eyes. How it happened? This man heard about this Bonnke was doing miracles. And when he saw in his presence, he could not stand. He says, I'm a sinful man, but I see Jesus in your eyes. And this man gave his heart to the Lord. So what I'm trying to say, people should see Jesus in you. Wherever you go, we are ordinary people. But we are called by God to let the whole world know we are Jesus' disciples. God has called us with a definite high calling. For what? To tell the whole world Jesus Christ is alive. And Jesus Christ does miracles today. And don't be afraid. If somebody tells you, I want to see a miracle right now, do it. Don't test God at that particular time. One man came running to me and he says, I have this stomach problem. Can you heal me right now? I said, sir, stand aside. And then I gave a call to somebody. If somebody has a similar problem like this man, please come. And people line up and they got healed. I said, did you see these people getting healed? But you did not get healed. Why? Because you want to see the sign, the miracle. People are looking for sign, and even that they get sign, they are not going to stand. First of all, the person has to believe that why I need God, why I need Jesus. You have to have a personal experience with Jesus. And how the personal experience comes, you have to have need of God in your life. What is your need? You are dying without God and without Christ. Without Jesus, you are going to go to hell. Your sin is bothering you. Your sickness is killing you. If you do not admit that you are a sinner, then you don't need God. Sinner needs God. So what I'm trying to say, if the person comes to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Automatically, that person gets saved and healed and delivered and set free. First comes salvation, then comes healing. But people come and sit in the church year after year after year and even do not know what they're hearing, what God is talking to them, and their life doesn't change. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, something happens. What? He changes your life. Once the healing start inward, then the healing start outward. The inward healing has to take place first. And then you will be witness anywhere.
Then said I, Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord.
Amen. When this verse came to me, I got so much courage. I'm not afraid of anyone or anything. Sometimes somebody say, why are you telling that person? He's in a big man and don't insult him. I said, no, I have to tell the truth. If you don't tell somebody about Jesus Christ, they will not know. So the Word of God says God has chosen the foolish things of this world. Let's go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28.
And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are.
The things of this world, not important to anybody. Not glorifying things. Those kind of things God can take. God can take any ordinary person and use him for his glory. So there is nothing impossible. Verse 29.
That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Okay. To get with their own power, with their own wisdom, with their own strength, if they would have done it, they would have said, I did it. Hindu religion teaches like a karma. Karma means do something. Muslim religion teaches the same thing. You have to do something to get blessed. Jewish religion says the same thing. If somebody would have said, crawl on your belly, from Philadelphia to New York, and you will see God there. Do you know how many people will be crawling on this belly? But they will do it. I have to do it to see God. 120 miles, I can do it on my belly. And that's what people are doing in India and other countries. They don't find God that way. If that's the way somebody finds God, and they will brag. They will say, I did it. Finally, I crawl in my belly, and I found God. So the word of God says, no flesh will be proud that they found God. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and start reading from verse 4.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
We didn't do anything. We were dying without God and without Christ, and we were in our sins. The word of God says, Jesus Christ came and died for you and for me when we were sinners. So he says, we could not get saved by works. If you would have done it, that would be boasting. So he said, no man can boast. We should say, thank you, Lord, you saved us. Not because of what I am. You saved us because I was nobody. And now I am somebody in Christ Jesus. So if you want to boast, you have something to boast in God. We cannot boast anything without God. And he said, what? The verse 30 says, he says, but of him we are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. And verse 24 we read, the power and wisdom. So in Jesus Christ, what do you got? Verse 24, he says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And he says, in Christ, you have wisdom, you have righteousness, you have sanctification, you have redemption. What more you want? You got the power of God, you got the wisdom of God, we got the righteousness of God, we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are belong to God. That's what God has done. So let's go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31.
That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Now St. Paul is saying that according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glorify in the Lord. Where is written? Let's go to the Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24.
But let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Praise the Lord. He says, if you want to glorify God, and if you want to brag about God, then tell what God is doing in your life. That is the only bragging. That's what the testimony is all about. You go and tell somebody. People might be thinking you are bragging. I'm not bragging for myself. I'm telling people what God has done for me, what God is doing through me. Without God, I'm nothing. God has called me with a definite high calling. And that's why we have to tell the whole world what God is all about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17.
But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
If you want to glory, what do? Let him glory in the Lord. There is all bragging about Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus made me that way. I was nobody, but now I'm somebody in Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we are nothing. But in Jesus, we are somebody. He has called us to put the wise and learned people to shame. We should be glorifying God and telling others, you know what? I was fool. I was nobody. I was sick. I was sinner. I was smoking. I was drinking. I was doing all kinds of things. But thank God, Jesus saved me. And now, whatever I am, because of grace of God. And now, St. Paul says actually, I can do all things. How? Through Christ, who strengtheneth me. The Christian people should have answer for everything. That's why we are counselors. I call people, if you have any problem, call me. We have answer for everything. Because Jesus is the answer. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for your high calling. You have called us, even though we are foolish, we were weak, we were nobody, dying without God and without Christ. But you have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Give us grace to tell others what we have in Jesus Christ. Be with us, sanctify us, use us more and more for your glory. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.